Now, this reading we've just looked at has got four distinct scenes in it. And we're going to take a look at each scene as we look at Jesus' authority as king. Now, my Bible has a heading at the start of chapter 21. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. Now, this conjures up images in my head for me. Pictures I've seen of things like Queen Elizabeth's coronation, what I imagine Charlie's might be like. But there's one particular image that comes to my mind, and it's of this guy. Now, some of you might know I'm a bit of a history nut. I just love it. And bits of stray information stick in my brain. And this was one of those. Now, this guy's name is Georgi Zhukov. He wasn't a king. Zhukov was the leading marshal of the Soviet Russian army during World War II, the old communist Russia. Now, Zhukov held the defence of Moscow in 1941. He organised the defence and counterattack at Stalingrad in 1943. And he won the Battle of Berlin in 1945. Zhukov led the very first victory parade through Red Square, which is right in the middle of Moscow, riding on a white stallion. He rode in front of a large part of the massive Soviet army. All the infantry, artillery, the tanks, decked out in his marshal's uniform. What a triumphant moment for a man so instrumental in the Soviets' victory in World War II. But the pomp and pageantry, the military might, were all so different to Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. So different to Jesus' authority. We've got coronations showing wealth, tradition, rich and implied power of their kingdoms. And the other is just a display of raw military might. Unlike Jesus, who enters Jerusalem riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey, hardly a white stallion. But even in this, Jesus is showing his authority. When he sends two of his disciples into Bethpage to get the donkeys, he tells them in verse 3, "If anyone says anything to you, say the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Look, I need these donkeys, but don't worry, when I'm done, I'll send them straight back." And when Jesus enters Jerusalem, his authority isn't backed by an army. His authority isn't showy. It's powerful, but it's humble. Now, Jesus hasn't picked his time of entry into Jerusalem by accident. This is the beginning of the Passover celebration, and there'd be Jews from all over the place come to celebrate in Jerusalem. And these would be very familiar with the scriptures and would be very aware of the significance of Jesus entering on the foal of a donkey, as we can see in verse 5. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus doesn't need a white stallion to make a statement. Jesus, on his entry, isn't boastful. He didn't have an army following him. Yet the people were attracted to him. He would have had his disciples and whatever other people who'd been travelling with him, and those people who'd attached themselves to him on the way. But the news must have spread that he was coming because a large crowd had gathered. Some of them spread their cloaks on the ground for him to ride over. Others cut branches. Or as John tells us, palm fronds. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the man, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." The crowd seems to recognise Jesus' authority. Jesus has triumphantly entered Jerusalem, not in a boastful, look at me kind of way. He has proved his authority through the fulfilment of Scripture. He's not boastful or proud. It's not him or his disciples claiming he is king. It's the people. And how much easier is it to follow someone who's not showy? Someone who's humble? It's a lot easier, isn't it? And Jesus shows us he's humble by his entry into Jerusalem. Now we'll have a look at the second scene in the courts of the temple. Now some of you have probably heard me talk about our dog Wesley. Wesley doesn't know it, but he has been the inspiration for many a ministry talk. Wesley loves his family, but he's also very protective of us. He'll even protect the cat. Now, if you come to our place, please make sure you use the front door. Jesus then goes on to show another side of his authority, his willingness to defend what's his. He's protective. He enters the temple courts, and what does he find? People buying and selling, money changers. You might think this is a funny place to set up a market. But the buying and selling was for those things needed for sacrifice in the temple. And because the people came from all over the place, from other countries to worship, they often didn't have the right money, the local currency to pay for items they needed. And that's where the money changers come in. Right, so we've got people buying stuff for sacrifice and getting the right money to do it. But it seems like there's a couple of issues with this. It sounds like there was a bit of price gouging going on. After all, Jesus tells them they're turning the temple into a den of thieves. Jesus is showing his authority in defending and protecting what's his and what's to be used by his people. In verse 13, "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it into a den of robbers." This is my house. Not this is God's house. It's mine. I'm not just your king, I'm also your God. I'll protect what's mine, and I'll protect those who are mine. So we'll go on now to have a look at that third scene. This really weird episode with the fig tree. Now, how many of you out there are gardeners? Oh, we've got a few, that's good. I don't know what you're like, but my survival rate with plants is not all that great. Keeping citrus trees alive has always been a bit of a challenge. And Wesley here, he doesn't help much either, because he likes to help water the plants as well. Another side of Jesus' authority is that it's unchanging. His authority is constant. His authority is the same always. We know what to expect. Now, I might be a poor gardener, but I don't think I've managed to knock off a tree as fast as Jesus did with this fig tree in verses 18 and 19. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately, the tree withered. This seems pretty harsh, doesn't it? Just because it's not bearing any fruit, Jesus says it won't bear any ever again. That's pretty hard on the fig tree. And it seems really unusual for him to do something like this. But with these fig trees, if they have leaves, they should also have fruit. So it's a bit of false advertising, all leaves and no fruit. But Jesus isn't talking about the fig tree here, is he? He's talking about Israel. God created them to be fruitful as his people. And nothing about God has changed. But they've withered and stopped producing over time. And in particular, the religious leaders of Israel. Because down through the years, they have changed and perverted the laws and statutes that God had given them. All these showy leaves, no fruit. Israel's religious leaders have played and tampered with the commands and rules given to them in the time of Moses. And in Israel's case, they've added a lot more rules to what were originally given to them. But these rules were put in place by people, not God. Did these people think they knew what was better for Israel than God? Have they accepted God's authority in these things? It doesn't look like it. And this isn't just happening in Israel in Jesus' time. You can probably pick any age before and after Jesus and see this happening. And it's happening in our time too, isn't it? There are religious leaders now who are changing how they do things bit by bit. Things they say need to change to make Christianity more suitable for the world today. And I guess the prime example of this is the whole sex and sexuality thing. The softening on the stance on sex outside of marriage. Same sex, sex. And even, what sex am I? Like the changing religious leaders of ancient Israel, they think they know better than the unchanging God. But Jesus said we must have faith and not doubt. Jesus is saying, trust in me. I won't let you down. I don't change my mind. Have faith in my unchanging authority. Now we'll have a look at this final scene with Jesus and the religious leaders. One thing as Aussies we love is what's fair. We like to see our governments treating us fair. Our workplaces. We like to see our bosses treat us fair. A good fair game of footy. And good fair cricket pitches. We come into this last scene, and we see in Matthew's story that we're looking at today that Jesus' authority is fair. His authority is reasonable. He gives people a chance. We can see the priests and the elders are questioning the authority of Jesus. And we can see this in the second half of verse 23. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked. And who gave you this authority? They're openly questioning Jesus' authority. But Jesus gives them a chance to work it out. Jesus fires back his own question. I'll also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did that come from? Was it from heaven? Or from human origin? What a question. And it did what it was designed to do. If they hadn't thought about this before, they would have to carefully consider it now. If they say from God, well, why didn't you believe? And if they say from God, they would have to admit that Jesus' authority is also from God, something they aren't real keen on doing because they don't think Jesus is the Messiah. But if they say from human origin, They're afraid of what the people will do because they believe John was a prophet. What do? Plead ignorant. We don't know. Jesus is giving them a chance here, and they're not going to take it. Jesus says, if you don't know, I'm not telling. And he leaves them hanging. And they don't want to commit either way. Jesus gave them a chance. He was fair. Why should we submit to Jesus' authority? We can see through these four different scenes that Jesus' authority is humble. Jesus' authority is protective. Jesus' authority is unchanging. And Jesus' authority is fair. For most of us, the words obey and authority don't sit real well, do they? They give us an uncomfortable feeling. They sometimes bring out that rebellious streak in us too, don't they? We like to think that we can cruise through life as our own authority. All of us just cruising through life, doing what we want. You can't tell me what to do, and I can't tell you what to do. Great, isn't it? But have a think about it. We obey authority in some way or another every day. What do you do if you're at school and you do the wrong thing? You get into trouble. What do you do when you're at work and you do the wrong thing there? Could be looking for another job, couldn't you? Most of us obey the road rules. We could be our own king, couldn't we? As far as the government let us, that is. We would be free to do what we want within the law. Now, this sounds okay. But ultimately, all these things would be done because of our self-centred nature. We would just be trying to make ourselves happy. And it doesn't matter how good we are, we'd still be living our lives for ourselves. And eventually those lives would end. And because we haven't submitted to Jesus' authority, to Jesus' perfect authority, we wouldn't be part of God's kingdom. We'd end up with Satan. Now, is that rebellious streak worth it? Or are we like the religious leaders of Israel? They believe in God, but over the years they have built up such a wall with rules and regulations. They have gone from faithful obedience to being legalistic. So much that they and the people of Israel, they just can't get close to God anymore. They've shut him out with rules. They make a great show of their belief in God by following the rules they've put in place, not what God's put in place. They're like the fig tree, all leaf, no fruit. They're putting on a show of how faithful they are to God. So have we built a wall around either him or ourselves with legalistic rules and tradition? And has that wall been built so well that we forgot to put a gate in it? Have we cut ourselves off from Jesus' perfect authority through rules and regulations like the Israelites? Now, the Bible gives us things that are unmovable. They're black and they're white. These things are right to stand by. But there's also a lot of grey areas we should be careful not to push into the black and white. Now, these are areas we need to use wisdom. We always need to look at, are we being obedient to a certain thing or idea because Jesus told us to do it? Or because somewhere along the line, people have made that decision? But are we like those who followed Jesus into Jerusalem? who saw Jesus as their Messiah, as their King, and willingly accepted his authority over them. And a lot like them, we can still have trouble understanding the full extent of what that means. But we have faith in Jesus' authority as King. By submitting to Jesus' authority, it doesn't mean we'll have a wonderful life here and now. While most of us don't suffer from following Jesus, many in this world do. Some even die because they have submitted to Jesus' authority. By submitting to Jesus' authority as King, we can look forward to our reward in the kingdom. Jesus cares for us and he wants us saved. Jesus shows us he's the perfect King. He's humble, he's protective, unchanging, and he's fair, willing to sacrifice himself for us. And Jesus did that, didn't he? Another reason for us to obey Jesus' authority. Jesus went to the cross and was put to a horrible death. And he did that for us, so we could have life. The final trait of a perfect King. By submitting to Jesus' authority and asking for forgiveness of our sins, we are saved and can look forward to the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can see Jesus' authority is humble, it's protective, it's unchanging and fair. But most of all, Jesus' authority is perfect. So much so that he paid the price for our sins, even though we could have been made to do so. What other King would do that for us? Amen.